إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يعيذني وإياكم من النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evils of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This ummah of al-Islam occupies a high position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the Arabs, they were the most decadent nation on earth. They were the lowest nation on earth. They killed one another, they robbed one another, they cut the relations of the wombs, they transgressed against one another. They were highway bandits. But when Islam came to them, they became the torch carriers. They brought civilization to the rest of the world. And they changed history. They created future. They made it with their own hands, with their own works, with their own actions. And at their time, at that specific time, history took a turn that changed the future of humanity forever. But how did the Prophet ﷺ transform this ummah? What was the secret behind this great transformation that has no parallel whatsoever in history? What was the secret to that? It's not a secret anyway. Because we find it there in the Qur'an, in the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But don't we have the same thing today? Don't we have the Qur'an? Don't we have the Sunnah? We have them. Both of them are with us. The Qur'an is intact as Allah promised to protect it. And the Sunnah is there through the great efforts of the great scholars of Al-Islam. So we have these two secrets to civilization, to greatness, to the apex of human existence. We have the means to that. We have the secret, we have the formula for that. But what is the difference between us and the companions? The book is the same, the sunnah is the same, but the people are not the same. They were real men. They were real Muslims who lived for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrificed for His sake everything they had. But the good news is that at any time it is possible to duplicate the same experience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not necessarily to the same high level, but at least we can duplicate the main part of his mission. And we can revive this ummah, we can bring it back to glory, we can bring it back to honor. So what is the secret of great Muslims? What is the secret of great individuals who can make history, or who can make the future, and write history with their own actions? It is high aspiration. It is al-himma al-aliya that shakes mountains, that can change the whole universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that power. He enabled us. He gave us the potential to be able to create and to change and to transform this world. And we are supposed to do that. So the secret to the great position of this ummah that Allah wanted it to be is high aspiration. Great, lofty, noble ambitions that do not settle for average ambitions of human beings, that do not settle for carnal desires, that does not settle for personal ambitions. It's high aspiration that changes the world. And look at yourself today, where do you stand? Nothing brought you to where you are today except your ambitions and your aspirations. If high, then you will be high. But if low, you will always be low. Don't blame circumstances. Don't blame conditions. Don't blame others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power to choose our response to our conditions. The conditions of the companions were far greater, more difficult, harsher than the conditions we are going through today. We are living in a state of luxury, although the ummah is in a state of humiliation. So divorce, blame three times. Ba'in baynuna kubra. Divorce it three times and never come back to it. Use the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave you. You can change the face of this earth. We can help humanity. We can open the eyes to the truth. So you can always reach the apex of human civilization, human existence, human behavior. You can always reach that if once you decide to do it. That was exactly the experience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his companions. I would ask you brothers to come forward a bit, if you can squeeze up a little bit, just to let the brothers find space at the back. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially at the early days of da'wah, was working hard to build individuals with high aspirations. When Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arat came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened to Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arat? He was taken by the Muslims and they set up fire for him. They put his back on the fire and they started jumping on his chest. And he said, Wallahi, nothing put the fire out except the grease and the fat of my back melting on it. They used to bring the pebbles, the soft pebbles, and heat them until they turned red. Then they would force him to sleep on these pebbles. And he never recanted Islam. He never gave up Islam. But one day he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in the shade of the Kaaba. He said, O Messenger of Allah, أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرُ لَنَا أَلَا تَدْعُ اللَّهَ لَنَا. Why didn't you call upon Allah to help us? You can see we're coming through so many trials. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? Because he understood the making of nations, the making of the future, the making of glory. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that process very well. What did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? He reminded him of the examples of the nations that came before. That one of them used to be, they used to sow someone and split him into two pieces. They used to comb their bodies with combs of iron, splitting their nerves and their flesh from their bones, and they would never give up their religion. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his companions, hold on to the high aspirations. Hold on to your ambitions. Don't settle for compromise, even if the challenge is great. You can always do it. Allah put the potential inside of you once you hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hold on to the rope of Allah and you can face any force on this earth. Actually, there is no force on earth that can stand in the face of a Muslim once they hold on to the rope of Allah. This was the case of our great generations, the early generations, the Salaf. Our predecessors, this is how they were. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great Khalifa, one day he was with his servant, Dukayn. He said, Ya Dukayn, wallahi inna li nafsan tawwaqa. Ya Dukayn, I have a very ambitious soul. I can't settle for the daily ambitions of people. I'm not satisfied with that. I have a very ambitious soul. تقت إلى العلم فحصلته. I craved for knowledge and I got that. وتقت إلى بنت الخليفة أن أتزوجها فكان لي ما أردت. I wanted to marry the daughter of the Khalifa and I had that. وتقت إلى الإمارة فحصلتها. And I wanted to become like the prince or the leader of one of the provinces of Al-Islam. And I was given that. ثم تقت إلى الخلافة فحصلتها. Then I longed for the Khilafah to become the chief of the believers. And I got that. Very ambitious. He doesn't settle. He doesn't give up. He doesn't rest. These were the people who created the history of Al-Islam, the glory of Al-Islam. He said, now I wallahi have the ambition of making it to paradise. Never settle for less than paradise. This is how you can make it. The Prophet ﷺ was the great example in high aspirations. Because, and I'm going to mention some of his great ambitions, some of his patience, some of his dedication, examples of his greatness. You know, one day, but I'm going to talk about his students now, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. One day when Amr ibn al-As was fighting against the Byzantines, he needed some help because they were greatly outnumbered. So he sent back to the Khalifa, Abu Bakr. He said to him, asking for more soldiers. He said, send me at least 4,000 soldiers. I need 4,000 soldiers. Otherwise, we have no chances of overcoming our enemy. What did Abu Bakr do? He sent to him four individuals. Four. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Khalid ibn Maslama, Al-Miqdad ibn Amr, Ubad ibn Samit. Four individuals. Al-Miqdad ibn Amr and Ubad ibn Samit. Four individuals, and he sent with them a letter to Amr ibn al-As. When Amr ibn al-As saw the four people, he was shocked. When he opened the letter and he read it, Abu Bakr said to him in the letter, you asked me for 4,000 soldiers and I sent you what you asked for. I sent you four individuals. Each one of them stands for 1,000 people. Now how many people do you and I stand for? This is how they changed the course of history. This is how they made the great glory of Al-Islam. You don't need great numbers to change history. You don't need great numbers to create a wonderful civilization. You just need individuals. One of them is better than 1,000 people. These are the people who make our future. And these are the people we are supposed to build today. And this is the methodology we're supposed to follow. So where are your aspirations? How do these individuals reach, each of them, be equivalent at least to 1,000 people? How did they do that? With great aspirations, powerful ambitions, with determination, unwavering hearts. They never gave up. One day, the great Khalifa as well, Harun al-Rashid, he reached the borders of Constantinople, which is Istanbul today. It was the capital of the Byzantine Empire. And that was the first time for the Muslim army to reach the borders of that city. And the Byzantines gave up, so they paid the jizya for a few years. And the leader was a woman. When she died, a man took over. His name was Nuqfur. So he sent a letter to Baghdad, to Harun al-Rashid, to the Islamic capital, Baghdad. He sent him, he said, the king who was before me, or the queen who was before me, she gave you a very high status. She overestimated your true worth or your weight. And she gave you so much of our wealth, of our money, of our assets. And this is the weakness of women. Once you receive my letter, once you read my letter, send back everything you received from her. Give it back to me and even ransom yourself with more than that. And if you don't do this, then I will come and get you. The letter came to, or fell in the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Harun al-Rashid, who had the dignity of a Muslim, the high aspirations of the Muslim, the courage of a Muslim that never settles for low aspirations. When he received the letter, he wrote back straight away. He wrote from أمير المؤمنين, من أمير المؤمنين هارون إلى كلب الروم نقفور. From the chief of the believers, Harun, to the dog of the Romans. I have received your book, and my answer is what you see, not what you hear. And he marched to him and subdued his army. And he paid the jizya again. These were our ancestors. This is why they were the peak of civilization. At a time when the rest of humanity was wallowing in darkness, in filth, in backwardness. This is why the Muslims excelled in every area of life. High aspirations. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, says, Wallahi, لَصَوْتُ الْقَعْقَاءِ فِي الْجَيْشِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ مُقَاتِلٍ. The voice of Al-Qa'qa in the battlefield is better than 1,000 fighters. The voice of one person. This is how our ancestors were. So what about ourselves today? You see, we're great numbers. We're more than 1 billion individuals, 1 billion people, 1/5 of the world's population. But you could get 1 million people and they can hardly stand for one person. That's the illness of our ummah. This is what we have to work on. Now the Prophet ﷺ was the great example. I will share with you some of his great actions and his high aspirations after جلسة الاستراحة. أقولوا ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was the great person who had the highest aspirations in the whole of human history. This is why his impact on humanity will always be the most magnificent and the most profound. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم teaches us through his words, through his conduct. This is why he says in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُحِبُّ مَعَالِيَ الْأُمُورِ وَيَكْرَهُ سِفْسَافَهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal loves the high aspirations, the great actions, the great contributions. Allah loves that. And Allah hates low aspirations or insignificant issues. Allah hates that. This is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day he was sleeping in the house of Aisha. So she was checking out whether the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was next to her. And when she realized that he wasn't next to her, he was trying to pray. He looked at her and he said, Ya Aish, Ya Aish, darini al-laylata ata'abbadu rabbi. Ya Aish, let me worship my Lord. He didn't settle for sleep. He couldn't sleep because he had high aspirations. He couldn't sleep. So he said, let me worship my Lord, Ya Aisha. Let me worship Allah. Let me spend some time supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting his verses, standing in humbleness before him. So she said, Wallahi, I love you and I love what you love. So you do whatever you want. So the Prophet ﷺ started praying and he recited Surah Al-Baqarah, and Surah Al-Nisa, and Surah Ali Imran. And she says that his beard became wet, his clothes became wet because he was crying. Even the ground was wet. When Fajr time came, Bilal came to wake him up. So he knocked on the door, the Prophet ﷺ opened the door. Bilal saw him in that state. He said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this to yourself? Allah has forgiven all your sins, past and present. Why do you do that? But high aspirations. He said, Ya Bilal, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant, a grateful servant to Allah? How grateful are we to Allah? And I will finish just with one thing that shows even the Prophet's high aspirations are not limited to this world, even in the hereafter. On that great day when people will wait for 50,000 years, for the account to start, for the reckoning to start. And they will be drowned in the sweat. And the sun will be so close to their heads. Everybody's running around like headless chicken, trying to find out any escape from that. Finally, they go to Adam alayhi salam. They tell him, you are the father of all humanity. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intercede with him. Just let him start the reckoning. That's it. They don't ask for anything else. Just let them start the hisab. Please start it. Get us out of here. What does Adam say? And then after that, they go to other prophets and messengers. All of them give the same answer. They say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَدْ غَضِبَ الْيَوْمَ غَضْبَةً لَمْ يَغْضَبْ مِثْلَهَا قَدْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Allah, today has become angry to a degree that he has never reached before. Nafsi, nafsi, I just want to save myself. I just want to save myself. And he runs away from them. Each prophet does the same. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith that is narrated in Sunan al-Darimi, he says, "Inni awwalun nasi man tanshaqqu al-ardu an jumjumati yawm al-qiyamati wa la fakhr." I am the first person whom the earth will split open for him to come out of his grave on the day of judgment. He's the first one to come out of his grave. إِنِّي أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ عَنْ جُمْجُمَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرٍ وَأَنَا سَيِّدُ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرٍ And I am the king, I'm the master of humanity on the day of judgment. All glory is in this. وَأَنَا صَاحِبُ لِوَاءِ الْحَمْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرٍ And I will hold the flag of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرٍ And I'm the first person to enter paradise on the day of judgment. High aspirations, high achievements on the day of judgment. But it doesn't stop there. Then he carries on. وَإِنِّي آتِي بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ فَآخُذُ بِحَلَقَتِهَا And I come and I approach the gate of paradise and I hold on to the handle. So they ask me, who's this? من هذا? فأقول أنا محمد فيفتح لي. I say, I am Muhammad. So they open the gate. I enter paradise. فأدخلها فإذا الجبار مستقبلي. فأسجد له. I enter paradise. The most great, the omnipotent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all his greatness, I find him before me. So I prostrate myself before him. فيقول الله عز وجل ارفع رأسك يا محمد وتكلم يسمع منك وقل يقبل منك واشفع تشفع Allah says, يا محمد, put your head up. You say whatever you want and it will be accepted from you. Intercede and you will be granted. What does the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say? Does he say نفسي نفسي? Does he say my family? Does he say my companions? يقول فأرفع رأسي فأقول أمتي أمتي يا رب Oh Allah, my nation, my people, you and I. Even though we live more than 1,000 years after him, the Prophet ﷺ was concerned about each and every one of us. How much concerned are you about him? So he says, أمتي أمتي يا رب. يقول الله عز وجل يا محمد ارجع إلى أمتك فمن وجدت في قلبه مثقال حبة من خردل من الإيمان فأدخله الجنة Anyone you find in your ummah that has an atom's weight of iman, go into him into paradise. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم does that 3 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him to get some people out of the open plain of يوم القيامة and let them into paradise. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, ثم قضي الحساب فيدخل من بقي من أمة النار مع أهل النار. Then those who remain from my ummah, they enter hellfire with the people of the hellfire. فيقول أهل النار ما أغنى عنكم أنكم كنتم تعبدون الله ولا تشركون به شيئا. It did not benefit you, it did not avail you that you used to worship Allah without setting partners with Him. فيقول الجبار وعزتي وجلالي لأخرجنهم من النار. So Allah with His greatness says, I shall get them out of the hellfire. So He gets them out of the hellfire. فيوضعون في نهر الحياة فينبتون كما تنبت الحبة في غثاء السيل. So they grow next to the river of life as a seed grows. When it's next to the river or to the body of water. ثم يدخلون الجنة فيقول أهل الجنة هؤلاء الجهنميون فيقول الجبار بل هؤلاء عتقاء الجبار. So they enter paradise. The people of paradise say, these are the people of Jahannam. Allah says, no. These are the ones that are granted intercession by Al-Jabbar, by the Most Great, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how great our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and this is why Allah has given his ummah so much dignity, so much honor. We can always duplicate what happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So let's try our best. Your aspirations decide where you are going to end up, and collectively as this ummah, as a whole ummah, our aspirations will collectively lead to our future. Whether high or low, it is we who decide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the choice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this ummah glory and forgiveness. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم اهد ضالهم اللهم اهد شباب المسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين